Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovee of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovee, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah.
I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovee, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovee on 670 The Score.
Tommy!
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And now it is time to go out to the Score Hotline, where Tommy Hottovee, the Cubs pitching coach, joins us like he does every other Wednesday. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. You know, at this stage of the road trip, after a 3 hour and 38 minute marathon last night, one of the wackiest games you're ever going to watch and probably participate in your case, how are you feeling this morning? Are you run down? Does it seem like it's been a month since you've been home?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, for the last year, if you look back at our series here last year as well, I mean, we have had some absolute grinder games here out in Arizona. And you know, it's a tough team. It's a tough team, and they're built to kind of grind out some of those games against you. And I feel like we're built kind of that same way. You see two teams just kind of going back and forth and battle. And, you know, it's been a long, you know, 10-day, 9-game road trip, and we're obviously excited for the opportunity to kind of wrap that up and end on a good note and get home and get back to Chicago.
So Jordan Wick's going today, and I think you had a lot of hope invested in getting out of Arizona with the series victory. That would be big because you're in a tough spot. Last night did not go well for Kyle Hendricks, Tommy, and I think it's an uncomfortable conversation, and we've been trying to talk a little bit around it this morning, talk about the elephant in the clubhouse, if you will. Kyle Hendricks has not been good, and 7 home runs in 17 innings is not the kind of thing that I'm sure that you look at and Craig Counsell looks at that you guys can live with. Number one, is there anything obvious that stands out to you that he's not doing or what is wrong? And secondly, how difficult is it because of who he is?
Yeah, I think number one, I think, you know, we saw a guy kind of early in the year that was trying to find some mechanical things and also try to call his pitches at the same time. And he's so smart and studious of what he wants to do and knows how he wants to attack hitters. And sometimes you get a little one-dimensional. You kind of fall into patterns. And what I thought Kyle actually did really well yesterday working with Miggy is he did let Miggy call more of the game, and it kind of had more of an interaction of how things went. You saw how the curveball usage went up yesterday. I think he did 10 curveballs, which he'd throw, I think, 7 in the first 3 starts combined. So, you know, he was able to mix a little bit more. The big thing is just when he makes a mistake right now, he's paying for it. You know, and I think he gave up 5 hits last night, and 2 of them were homers. And you know, one of them was just on a middle-end fastball to Gurriel, another one on an 0-2 fastball to Jock that Kyle just did next to. That's just not something we're used to seeing with Kyle. You know, when he's ahead, you know, he's usually getting guys out at a high clip. And then the other part that stood out from yesterday was just the, you know, going out for the 5th and those 2 walks, you know, that kind of put us in a tough spot there. It's just uncharacteristic of Kyle. And I think, you know, when you're lacking confidence early in the year, you see guys tend to be a little bit more fine with how they attack hitters, maybe falling behind more often. And you know, for Kyle, he's so good when he attacks a strike zone early and gets ahead and can just stay on the attack and be aggressive. I know there were some, it was still a tough outing for Kyle, there's still some positives to take out of it, and the way he's feeling, the way he's moving, he's starting to get better. But like you said, you know, you get to a point where you need to make, you know, just results need to happen. And I know Kyle knows that and he feels that, but it's not going to change his approach. He's going to continue to work, be the you know, steady guy that he is. And that's what you appreciate with guys going through this. And you know he's going to come out of it.
And I think that you've got to be very careful with designating guys to the injury list without any real injuries. But I wonder if it's whether it's a mental or physical thing. Would he benefit from 10 days on the injured list or a vacation mentally and a physical break, maybe to work on mechanics? Or is that something that would be realistic or under consideration, Tommy?
Well, I think, you know, we always got to make the best decision for the player and for the team, you know. And I think there are times where guys are dealing with mechanical issues that do stem from, you know, minor things going on. No one ever feels great, you know, and I think guys are trying to figure out how they can navigate, you know, how they're feeling, how they're pitching, and continue to get the work in they do. And sometimes that works, taking guys out of competition, giving them a mental break and let them work and focus on the things they need to do. Other guys benefit from just continuing to compete and grind. And it really just depends on where you're at, you know, in the season and what you're trying to do. I mean, we're at April 17th, and we're trying to see where we're at with our rotation, and trying to see where we're at with the bullpen. We're trying to give young guys opportunities in high leverage situations. So, you know, we're making decisions for the team. We're also trying to get a landscape of where guys are heading into the season.
So let's stick with the rotation for a moment, because health is a huge issue, and it has been since Justin Steele went down shortly into his first start. He's been around the team, Tommy, so I think I'm curious, how far away is he and what kind of progress is he making? And your rotation also gets a boost, it seems like. Is Jameson Taillon on schedule to start Thursday at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, Justin's been, you know, feeling great. He's been doing a really good job just going through this process very steadily and not trying to push. I think it's easy when you look around and you see the guys, you know, you know, competing and grinding out there. You want to be part of it. But he's doing a good job of kind of staying with himself, doing what he needs to do every single day and not trying to do too much. And I think that's such a huge part of like a rehab process for a young guy. And, you know, yesterday we went over to the complex, being here in Arizona. We were able to kind of throw, you know, in our lab, get some bullpen, some biomechanical data, just to kind of see and compare to where he was early in the year and early in the spring. So it's a good place for us to be able to start. You know, hopefully we're going to be at a point by the end of this week that we're going to be seeing some YBPs from Justin, facing some hitters, and just continue to progress from there. So, you know, he's progressing on the schedule that we had kind of whenever guys get injured, we talk about having a kind of an advanced, aggressive schedule and more like a reasonable schedule. And I think he's been progressing on this more advanced, aggressive schedule pretty well. So still need to check some boxes, still need to see where he's at over the next week, but definitely feeling good about how Justin's feeling.
And Jameson Taillon on schedule for tomorrow?
Yep, Jameson, you know, should be, you know, barring anything, you know, going on over the next 24 hours. You know, he's been looking good. He worked hard during his rehab outings, continued to focus in on what he needs to do to be successful. Mechanically, he's, you know, in a much better place now than he felt like he was early in the year last year. You know, it's always good when you have more time with a guy. You get to know him over the course of a year, and you're able to help them make the adjustments that they need to make, but also what makes them tick and what helps them, what drives them. So I think, you know, we're excited to get J-Mo back. We're excited to kind of start seeing some, you know, some familiar faces, you know, that we saw during the course of the year last year. And look, like, we're going to need a lot of guys to step up this year. You know, we're going to need a lot of guys to contribute, and it's nice. It's going to be nice to get J-Mo back. It's going to be nice when Steele comes back, but, you know, definitely feeling confident in a lot of guys that have been able to step up so far.
Talking with Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hadovy here on Mully and Haw Show, 670 The Score. And what a nice problem to have, Tommy, because we're talking about what to do with Kyle Hendricks. We're talking about how to fit in Jameson Taillon, and it's not as obvious as it might seem because you've got guys who have stepped forward. Javier Assad quietly is just very consistent. Ben Brown has been as good during the regular season so far since that first bad start outing in Texas as he was in spring training, when I think he convinced a lot of people that he was here to stay. Who's been more impressive? I mean, that's an embarrassment of riches right now, but you have those two guys especially that have stepped forward in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at both of those guys as being impressive in what they've been able to do. You know, it's really fun to see Ben Brown, you know, come up and make his debut and have a good outing and then have one bad inning. And when you look at the totality of his season so far, that's all it's been, is one inning, one tough inning in his major league debut against a very good offense. He's done everything else outstanding. He's answered the bell. He's been able to take the ball and go compete and stay aggressive and attack. And for a young guy that's coming up for the first time, that's what you want to see. But, you know, Hobby for me is just such a special pitcher. He can do so many things with the ball. The way he moves it around, the stuff he has. When you watch his games, nothing is straight. You know, you're watching on TV, you just see how much movement he's able to create with the ball and execute, you know, while doing it. And it's just so fun to watch him pitch. Such a competitor, he's so fiery, like, you know, just such a great personality when you're working with him. And he just continues to go out and do whatever we ask him to do. You know, if you need him to close and go three innings, he could do it. If you want him to start and go six, he can do it. You know, he can pitch in so many different – he just wants to pitch. He just wants to pitch. He wants to compete. And he's doing great. I'm happy for him, and they want to continue to build and grow off what he's been able to accomplish.
The versatility is so valuable, especially when you have so many different roles. And I know that Craig Counsell views it as he doesn't really define roles as much as he just wants out-getters. That's the term that he has used consistently. But I want to ask you this. You look at Ben Brown, and he is your prototypical 24-year-old up-and-coming starting pitcher. He looks the part, and certainly he has backed it up the other night against the Diamondbacks, six innings, one hit, outstanding start. Tommy, when you look at Ben Brown and you hear praise from guys like Pedro Martinez on MLB Network saying that the Cubs have something special there, what's the secret in managing him? Where does his best role moving forward? In the rotation? Because I would think with a young pitcher like that, you want to have as much certainty or consistency with what you're asking him to do rather than playing and using him in various ways. But what is the best way to use Ben Brown moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously see what he can do as a starter, and then we know the type of pitcher he can be, and we're going to want him to start games. But I also think there's ways to utilize guys throughout the course of the season to continue to keep them healthy and pitching long into the season. There's going to be a time we're probably going to use Ben out of the bullpen in a shorter stint if we feel like we need to, you know, back off the workload a little bit or give him a little bit of break, or you know, if we need to piggyback two guys because the bullpen's, you know, hanging a little bit and we need to give guys a couple days. Like, we have the flexibility to do that. We have the pitchers to do that. And when you have that mentality, kind of like Council says, of just have out-getters, like today your outs are going to be in the fifth through the ninth, just not through the first or the fifth. And to be honest with you, it's a good experience for some young guys to learn how to pitch deeper into games and pitch fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning than it is, you know, when you start. And so I think there's a lot of ways we can navigate this. And I think you're going to see Ben probably pitch in some different situations. And, you know, we just need to keep finding ways to keep him comfortable, even if he isn't starting, just to make sure that, you know, he's continuing to grow the way he needs to grow in this game. He's definitely done a fantastic job starting. We know what he can do. And, you know, we're obviously going to communicate through that over the next, you know, few months.
Meanwhile, the most consistent out-getter in the rotation has been Shota Imanaga, and he did it again. I'm wondering when he's going to give up a run, Tommy. That's become quite a story, quite an entertainer. What is he doing so well, and how surprised, if you are surprised, are you?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised in the fact that he's come to, you know, Major League Baseball as a pretty polished veteran pitcher that had a lot of success in Japan. What I think I'm most impressed about is, one, like his willingness and ability to adjust from what he's done in the past to maybe taking on a few things that we feel were going to help his game here at the major league level. You know, case in point, like most particularly, is just being able to execute pitching up in the strike zone, which, you know, they just didn't do a ton of in Japan. And, you know, his ability to manipulate the ball and understand now what pitch movement is telling him when he does get a fastball that has a little more run and a little less ride, like how to make that adjustment. He's learned that so fast. And again, it's just a testament to the person he is, but also the competitor and how much he wants to continue to learn in this game. And I think that's been one of the most, I don't know, fun, exciting things as a coach, when you have guys that can take information and make the adjustment quickly. And then not only make the adjustment, but learn on their own and be able to make the adjustments on their own. It's pretty fun to see. And I know technically he's a rookie, you know, in Major League Baseball, but definitely a veteran guy in terms of his ability to understand what he's trying to do, knows what he does really well, and goes out and executes it. It's really fun to watch. He's a great personality to watch on the field, just his mannerisms and the way he goes about his business. And yeah, we're lucky, definitely lucky to have him.
The other character that you have on the pitching staff is in the bullpen, Adbert Alzolay, but things have not started out as well. Three blown saves, Tommy, so far. You guys have lost seven games, off to a pretty good start, but he seems to be more inconsistent than he was in the second half of last season. Is there anything specific? Where's your level of concern, and how do you get him on the right track?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Adbert, he was in such a good place last year, you know, at the end of the year. Mechanically, he felt great, and his pitch shapes were exactly where he wanted them, and he was able to execute where he wanted to. And you know, it's early in the year, and he's just not quite back to that exact level. He's obviously a really good pitcher, and he's got really good stuff, but, you know, there were a few minor mechanical things that were a little off. It was causing his slider to have a little bit more depth early in the year than that kind of sharp late break that we were seeing at the end of the year. We kind of identified some minor, you know, cues and tweaks there, just kind of help with that. And he got on a nice little run there, saw the slider, you know, be able to tick up and things tick up. And, you know, other than the, you know, one pitch that Marte hit out last night, on that slider, kind of just stayed down away, which was a heck of a swing by Marte too, to be able to hit that ball, you know, 17 degree launch angle down away, pulled, you know, to right center. It was a really good swing. You know, he's kind of gone on a nice little stretch. Obviously, you know, the homers, the left-handed homers are always something that, you know, we want to stay on top of. He did a great job of suppressing those last year, and he's just given up three this year. You know, we know what he needs to do to be successful. He knows what he needs to do to be successful. And unfortunately, when you're a closer, if you make a mistake, you pay. Your team pays, and not a lot of guys can handle that. But we know Adbert can, and we know he's got the ability to get some really big outs late in the game for us. And he's going to continue to work. We're going to continue to help these guys, not only him, but all these guys continue to get better as this year goes on. And we're looking at it as, you know, we're 17 games in, and we're trying to find ways to help every one of these guys get better, because we know there's going to be bumps in the road early. We know there's going to be bumps in the road of, you know, how we're going to use guys, where we're going to put them in different situations. But we believe in them. We trust what they're going to do. We just got to keep working.
Quickly before I let you go, Tommy, Keegan Thompson looks like a guy who you brought up and wants to stay. Five strikeouts in his first two outings. Very strong. First four innings of the season. Looks like he has rediscovered something. Is he a guy you are beginning to trust in high leverage situations?
Yeah, I think, you know, Keegan's proven he's been able to do it in the past. And that's the thing, is like, you know, when Keegan went through a few struggles last year, you knew it was in there. You know, and for him, it's just about being himself and not trying to do too much. I think when you get put into those situations, that was one of the toughest situations anybody's going to get put into in that game 2 days ago, you know, in the extra inning game. And he stayed calm, he stayed cool, he executed everything he wanted to do and didn't try to do too much. And that's when Keegan's at his best, when he's just attacking the strike zone and competing. And you know, when you lose Steele early, when you don't have JMO, when you lose Merriweather, you know, a week into the season, you need guys to step up. And it's been fun to see Keegan in these first two outings really take the ball and thrive. And we're going to need more. We're going to need more guys like Keegan. We're going to need more guys to continue to step up and execute in huge situations to help our team get better. And, yeah, it's fun to see and really happy for him with the success he's had so far in these first couple outings.
Tommy, safe travels home. Good luck today. One last question. We're having a debate here. When you played in the majors, when you sit next to any one of the managers that you have worked with the Cubs, have you ever referred to, do you often refer to him as skipper? You like the term skipper as a manager?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I don't love the term skipper. I'm trying to be more personal, possibly by their name, you know, but a lot of people do. And you know, it's funny. It comes out in like more baseball conversations.
It does.
Like, hey, Skip, you think we should run here in this situation? You know,
but why?
It's funny, but yeah, I don't know. I never really got that. But
I don't either. I just think it's a baseball etiquette. You have to call a manager a skipper. I don't really get it.
Yeah, I know. I like using their name. I think it's a little bit more personal.
It's more personal. Tommy, thanks so much again. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, settling that debate once and for all. We'll get into it more when we come back, because it's something that they had fun with on the Cubs marquee broadcast on Tuesday night. But first, right now, you can win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on the Marlins Friday afternoon at Wrigley Field. This Friday, yes, just be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, and you can win a pair of tickets. Cubs-Marlins Friday at 1:20, Wrigley Field, be the sixth caller. Now, when we come back, we'll settle the skipper debate once and for all with Dustino. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Score celebrates the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey, Thursday, May 2nd.
Hi, everybody. Pat Hughes here. Join the Score's Parkins and Spiegel Show, broadcasting live at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier.
4 to 7 p.m.
I got so excited!
Including guests like Jason Alexander.
I'm back in business, baby!
Along with Chris Kattan, James Denton, Ryan Dempster, and Ron Kittle, all celebrating Harry's iconic catchphrase, Holy Cow!
How about that?
Come join us.
For more info, go to harrycarries.com.
And make sure to be there for the toast at 5:30.
Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
It's David Hoffer, Window Nation. April is here, and with the springtime weather, it's important to have quality windows. If yours won't open to let into the fresh air, if it won't seal tight to keep out the pollen and the bugs, or they've been leaking water all winter long, then it is time you talk to the experts at Window Nation. Right now at Window Nation, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free. No limit to how much you could save. No limit at all. You could save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in one day or less with proven quality, proven service. When you buy from Window Nation, rest assured, you're not getting affordable windows that meet or beat the ones from that you are getting affordable windows that meet and beat the ones from the national name brands. Don't miss out on your chance today to afford quality windows with an unlimited buy two, get two free, plus zero interest, zero payments, 24 months. You can't afford to wait. So easy. Do this today. Call 866-90-NATION, visit windownation.com, or schedule your free in-home estimate. And tell them Mullin Haw.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sent you.
The skipper for the Brewers.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Crane Kenny weighing in on the skipper debate, using it very casually, the skipper of the Brewers. Well, I don't really like it. I don't really like the use of skipper. And it's been an ongoing thing here, which is why watching the Cubs game last night on Marquee Sports Network, In the third inning, I was amused by this exchange between Boog Sciambi and Jim DeShays.
When you played, would you call your manager Skipper?
No, not much. Just by their name.
Okay. Do you call Craig Counsell Skipper?
I don't think I have yet.
The 2-0. And a swing and a miss.
I mean, if I were a manager, I would kind of dig Skipper. Skip, what's up, Skip? I get it. Just don't call a manager coach.
Yeah.
Some managers really take offense at that.
Or call the umpire Blue.
Yeah.
Neither of those.
That's funny. When you first get into pro ball, my first manager was Ken Berry, outfielder.
Okay.
Really good defensive outfielder. Played for the White Sox for a while. And, you know, you first get to pro ball, it's like, coach. My name's Ken. Call me Ken. I was like, that felt very weird. But you're an adult. You're the boss. Can't call you Ken.
I don't think I would mind coach. I would prefer coach to skipper. Skipper is somebody that works on a boat.
Skipper, but you heard the key was, and he being JD mentioned it, but don't call him coach.
I know.
And that's what happened to me. Okay. When I was trying to get a manager skipper on the air at a previous stop, and I said, hey, coach. And first of all, I'm not coach.
Was it old school? An old school guy?
Old school. I said on the air who it was, didn't I?
Bobby Cox?
Bobby Cox. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Called him in a hotel back when we used to call what we called hotel bingo.
Yeah.
Called him up, tried to get him on the air as a guest. He may have been in town playing the Cubs, for all I remember. Doesn't matter. But he scolded me and then declined the interview.
Why do you think they hate being called coaches? That's kind of what they are.
I think it's just, it's almost like a military rank, maybe. Like, I'm not a soldier.
Right.
I'm not a captain. You know, I'm not a corporal. I'm
Tommy
a general.
Tommy Hotovy is not the skipper of the Cubs or the pitching
He's a coach.
Skipper.
He's a hitting coach. He's a first base coach. They have designations, right?
Right.
But manager, like, it's weird to say, man, excuse me, manager. Hey, Skip.
But
I think it's the hey, Skip part.
I think I just don't like it because it makes me cringe, but also because it invokes the idea, like, I grew up in Gilligan's Island, and I think of Alan Hale when I hear the word skipper.
Well, and you've told me that it annoys you, so then I just repeat it.
Well, it annoys me, right. So you like to repeat it, and I appreciate that. Because
at least I'm listening, right?
At least you're listening. At least you're listening.
I'm engaged.
Here's the other thing that bothers me, and I think from a radio perspective, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but don't you discourage you teach students at Illinois Media School? Wouldn't you discourage them from referring to managers as skippers? Wouldn't you discourage them referring to the football field as the gridiron or wrestling as grappling?
The gridiron, the ice, the court, the hardwood.
No, no,
no,
no. Cringe, cringe, cringe.
Why?
It is not. It doesn't mean you have to, because we say it a lot, doesn't mean you have to substitute in words that really make you think, what? When is the last time in casual conversation you called the football field the gridiron? We're supposed to make things more conversational, not less. If you're writing, you're not supposed to make it harder to read. It's supposed to be easier. Don't put up stop signs. Give me express lanes. Gridiron? Really? Every time I hear gridiron, I don't care if it's on a national broadcast or whatever, I cringe. Just stop.
So just the field?
Yes.
Or name the field?
Or football. It's a football field. It's not a gridiron. It's not hardwood. It's a basketball court.
Like, I just like to be different. So, like, I'll refer to the airport. The airport?
Yes.
As O'Hare Field.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's different, right? Everybody, you know, take me to the airport. You know, oh, the plane just landed over at O'Hare Field.
I'm probably in a very small group. I was already called weird this morning on the text line. That's okay. I think this is maybe a weird thing, but for years, I would hear this, and like as a writer, I would try to avoid this. It's not clever. It's not even like different. We know what it is. It's like walking into a living room and calling your television set something different just because you want to call it. You're tired of calling it the TV. Silly, Skipper, and Tommy Hotovy. Thank you. Would rather just call Craig Counsell Craig instead of Skip. All right, Skip.
Just, I mean, stay away Skipper might be kind of weird too, but Skip.
815, just stay away from cliches. I think that's it. I think it is kind of a cliche. And you're sort of trained, hopefully trained to avoid cliches, not introduce them. There are other things that bother people. Jeff on 294 has a couple more. I love this exercise because it reminds me of things that drive me crazy too. Jeff, welcome to Mullen Hall.
Hi, guys. It drives me nuts. I mean, I hate it when I hear somebody on the radio go, he went yard, or he hit a walk-off. How about he hit a home run, or he hit a game-winning home run? I mean, what the heck?
And what the heck is right? I think baseball announcers in the midst of calling a home run have license to maybe get creative and can add their own little pizzazz. We heard John Sterling's last home run call this week. We love the way Pat Hughes calls a home run. If you want to refer to it as something different from a home run as it happens, I get it. But like later on during the sports broadcast or the pregame show or whatever, I don't think you need to went yard. Say Suzuki went yard last night. No, he hit a homer. He hit a homer.
Everybody said, what makes you different? Then we may as well just have Suri do everything.
What makes it different? It's just...
Let me ask you this. Since we're doing this, you brought up Illinois Media School.
Yep.
Okay, here's one thing that the students do that drives me absolutely you-know-what crazy, and I want to get your opinion on this. The Cubs beat the Diamondbacks last night 3-2 to start the story.
Mm-hmm.
I hate sentences that start with the...
I do
especially
too.
The lead sentence.
That's good.
You're dying me to death.
The is the most boring word in the English language.
Thank you. Okay. So there we go. We found common ground.
Common ground. David, nobody wears out nicknames more than you do. If I had to hear one more Stro show last year, I was going to vomit. Okay.
That's different, though. That's a nickname.
Skip
is a nickname for skipper. Maybe this afternoon... we'll have the Skipper Show with Craig Counsell and our guy, Ron Coomer, instead of the Manager Show. But you never heard it called the Coach's Show on baseball.
You've never heard it
referred to as the Coach's Show in baseball.
No, it's not. It's
the Manager
never is.
Show. It's always the Manager Show.
I'm going to have to get Coomer's opinion as an old school baseball guy. We know that he probably...
Friday at 8.
He will come down on calling him Skip, because I think he used to refer to Joe Maddon, I think, as Skipper. Okay, Skipper.
Especially Skip. You hear a lot of Skip, right?
Yeah. It might be a little silly.
It was the coach, though. The coach thing upset the manager or the skipper. And you even heard JD again say, don't call him coach. So I bet he at one point got scolded for, or heard somebody get scolded for referring to the manager, the captain of the boat, if you will, as coach.
217 says, what do you call the manager of the Marlins? Well, that's his first name, Skip Schumacher. So he actually is Skip.
He is Skip.
He's Skipper Skip.
Skippity skip. Skip squared.
All right. Well, I just had to get off my chest. I think I was more identified with JD seemed to be a little more on my side there. Seemed like a little bit. It just seems like it stands out. You don't call somebody that.
But I want it to stand out.
I don't think you need it to stand out. I think you find other ways to make your commentary stand out rather than using cliched nicknames.
I hope the people between 5 and 5:30 laugh when they hear Skipper, spit out their coffee.
I hope they do, because I do.
They know it's going to lead to a segment like this.
Well, we have to... I was just curious. I just wanted...
Hey, they referenced it on
when
Marquee
they referenced
last
it on
night.
The Marquee Network, I thought it was worth addressing. But we have more important matters today on the score all day long. Today, the Cubs finished the road trip against the Diamondbacks. It is going to be a game... Pre-game coverage starts at 2:05. Here on the score with Zach. And then it is the first pitch at 2:40. And you don't want to miss Jordan Wicks. That is a big start for Jordan Wicks. He's 0-2 this year with a 5.68 ERA against Brandon Faught. And I think he's a good right-hander. He's a good young pitcher. So the Cubs have their work cut out for them if they want to win that series and head home for a nice weekend series against the Marlins. And then later today, the Bulls and the Hawks at the United Center in the NBA play-in tournament. Pregame coverage, 8:15. Tip-off, 8:30. The only local broadcast of the game right here on 670 The Score and in Chicagoland on the free Odyssey app. I picked the Bulls. I think they win tonight. I think they will shut down or limit a compromised Trey Young. I think Io would play. I have my doubts about Drummond. I wish it was a team that going into this with full health or not. I don't know what it means if they win tonight, except for they play another game and the loser of the Heat and the Sixers on the road, correct? And that will be where they got to last year. For them to make progress or to consider this season a success, I don't even know what they can do, except for short of beating the Celtics in a series that no one would expect them to win. Other than that, this season has been largely disappointing. Started 5-14, got better, but it started 5-14. Thank you, Billy Donovan, for acknowledging the fact that you don't get credit for digging yourself out of a hole you created for yourself. So, Bulls and Hawks tonight, 8:30 tip-off. Be right here on The Score with Chuck and Bill and Alyssa Bergamini. Looking forward to that. Before we get out of here and get the transition, you could be the sixth caller. You like Aerosmith? You want to see them in concert? January 19th, 2025, right around the corner at the United Center. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. Right now, you can get ahead of the game and wear a pair of tickets. Win a pair of tickets to see Aerosmith. Sixth caller, 312-540-0670. When you come back, it's a Layla Wednesday. Layla Rahimi, Lawrence Holmes, Dan Bernstein, they will join us next. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bears fans, the Parkins and Spiegel Draft Special on The Score will be live from Detroit, the epicenter of what could be the most important draft in Bears history.
I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that.
We're taking the show on the road to Detroit to be in the middle of all the draft drama
next Thursday.